Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You ever, like, fight a chimp, Josh?
I can't say I have, no.
Well, welcome back to the official Geek Speak podcast. I am your host, Sean, and joined as always is my co-host, Josh, perfectly whelmed Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? Every episode, pretty much, we'll be going to a different Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM for short, and we'll see how in a short period of time, the biggest media company on Earth caters towards solely children with a large sample size, and we'll see any quality changes, etc. That is not today. That is next episode, because we're finishing up our catch-up time as of today. It's crazy. I am in a closet right now recording in my new apartment in California. If you listened to the last episode, my audio had reverb to it than Josh's did. That is because I was recording in my kitchen, not ever having done it in there before, and not knowing how to best make it sound good. I am now in my apartment's closet, because it's not echoey. So this is our year in review, and yes, it is currently February 16th. This is normally a month earlier. Again, I moved across the country. Things changed. It's fine. So pretend nothing this year has happened yet.
Nothing at all has happened. Ant-Man definitely hasn't come out today.
Next episode is our Quantumania episode. It is on when we get to our most anticipated movies of the year. I might mention Quantumania because in this world it hasn't come out yet. We're in the past. Let's get into the news of the week though, Josh. Starting off with, since we last recorded, the day we last recorded actually, Knock at the Cabin came out, which we both seen.
We did.
You liked it a lot, didn't you?
I very much liked it. I've really only seen Shyamalan's modern stuff, like from the Last Airbender onwards is kind of like my...
Oof.
Okay, I didn't see Last Airbender in theaters. You show me that, like, but whatever. The first film of his I saw was The Visit. Split, I think, is still my favorite of his, but this is a close second from what I've seen. I still haven't seen The Sixth Sense, so I can't, make a judgment call on that.
The Sixth Sense, I think, is still his best film, followed by Stuart Little. It actually is his film. People don't know that. He wrote that film. I like Knock at the Cabin. I think it's... I just wasn't satisfied by it. I think it was missing something. I don't really know what it was. It was a very literal and like straightforward story, and it's simple, and I think it could have had a bit more of something. It's the only time I walked out of the theater with a Shyamalan wanting a Shyamalan twist.
I was actually happy that there wasn't a twist to it.
It was good. I had fun. And if nothing else, I killed 2 hours of my day. So
great review.
That's always a good thing. I really love the performances overall. Dave Bautista was amazing. But I will say the news for this movie, besides it coming out, is that it finally dethroned Avatar The Way of Water at the box office. During The Way of Water's 7th week, it got dropped down from the number one spot.
I would have preferred it if Plane had done that, but we don't live in a perfect world.
We'll get to Plane news soon, Josh.
Yes!
We have Plane news.
I'm happy we have Plane news.
But also, the Super Bowl happened, Josh, and we got trailers. What did I say last time? Trailers in the truck going by with the wheat farm. Woo woo!
Toot toot. I don't remember what we said last
time. It was something like that. Yeah. If you're new to the podcast, thank you all for listening, by the way. We much appreciate it. And there's also timestamps down below to skip around anything you want to listen to specifically. And this podcast is chaotic. We're just two idiots who love pop culture. That's kind of the gist of the podcast.
If you like listening to idiots be idiots, then we're the idiotic podcast for you.
That's, yep. We got among many trailers and money fun things. We got a weird Pepsi commercial that happened. Superhero-esque Pepsi commercial during the Super Bowl. We got a Tubi commercial that caused actual assaults. But also, we got trailers. We got the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 full first trailer. We had a teaser before, and now we have an actual, trailer. What do you think, Josh?
It has me very, very excited for Volume 3. I love Volume 1 and 2. I think 2 is probably top 5 MCU for me. And I love that this really kind of has a sense of finality to it, at least for this Guardians team. I think there's going to be a lot of death in it. I don't know how much, but there definitely will be.
How would you feel if everyone on the team died? All of them died.
That'd be ballsy. I would commend them for that.
I really like the Gamora Nebula Star-Lord moment about describing how his love life was. And it looks like he just looks over to Nebula like, you know, you're the next best option here. Why not? Keep it in the family, I guess. Oh, but it was a very fun trailer overall. I've talked on this podcast before about me and Guardians 2. Not my jam. Josh, I disagree on that part. And a lot of gun stuff isn't for me. But I love the first Guardians movie so much. I think this team is a really good team. And I like the holiday special enough, so why not? A third one with probably a dead raccoon in it? Why not? I'm sure he'll be alive first, not just a dead raccoon.
The first frame dead raccoon.
We also got an absolutely bonkers incredible Mario movie trailer. Now, it's bonkers incredible because of the opening to this trailer, starting with the Super Mario Bros. Super Show theme song.
I've never seen the show. I've never seen that before. Once that little thing came out, I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta see what this is. I'm like, well, that's a thing, I guess.
Fun fact, I've seen every episode of the Super Mario Bros. Super Show.
I've seen absolutely nothing from it, aside from that thing now.
It's very 80s, 90s. It's very fun. We have an actual wrestler as Mario. Because they had live action segments as well as animated segments. The animated stuff was very classic. Save Princess Toadstool. Defeat King Koopa. Sometimes they parody movie stuff within it and have fun with that. It was really cute, really fun. And then they flash back to reality and have Mario and Luigi, the plumbers in Queens, dealing with shit. Literally and metaphorically. And it was very funny with these thick Italian accents. And that Super Show theme song, It hit hard, and they did that in this trailer. But also, I love the detail of having, like, woman read teleprompter very, like, very clearly in this trailer and the classic game logo on their van. There's so much heart in this movie.
I know people are constantly just like, oh, it's got Chris Pratt, it's got all these celebrities, it's gonna be bad. I'm like, can we not judge a movie based on its cast? Can we, like, look at what it is? Because from the trailer, like, the one that came out before, like, there's so many callbacks and things to other Mario games. Like, the people that made this, you know, did their research. And, like, of course, Nintendo has a hand in it. So they're going to make sure that it does the games justice.
It looks more faithful than the Sonic movies do, even.
Yeah, and, like, Sonic, you know, you have the excuse of live action. This is fully animated, so you can do anything within the games.
So, yay on this trailer?
Yay.
Yay or nay on the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 trailer.
Yay.
And again, for those who are also new, yay and nay, we say meaninglessly because it's all subjective, all art is subjective, all opinions are stupid and fun, so why not? We also got another superhero movie trailer. This movie is complicated. We're back on our Ezra news. We got the Flash movie trailer, which upsettingly looks fantastic.
We've talked about this movie ever since this podcast started, the ups and downs of the whole thing. So it's very interesting to actually finally see something from it. And yes, it does look good, but everything around Ezra makes it very complicated.
If you all want to watch a movie without supporting Ezra Miller at all, or without showing that we want Ezra Miller back, watch on HBO Max after a month of it being out. So it means after their metrics are done, then you can watch it. Still support the casting crew. Yes, the casting crew have already been paid. That's not the issue to me. I like to see movies like this because, for instance, I'm a filmmaker, and so is Josh. If we worked for months and months and months on a film, say we did visual effects, and then no one ever got to see it because of one actor, that would really be shitty. Like, yeah, I got paid, but I also would like to see, you know, the world to see my work. That's part of what being an artist is. And I don't want Ezra Miller to ruin that for everyone's hard work, for Michael Keaton and Sacha Calle and Annie Muschietti and the DP of this film and the entire crew. And yes, I know they got paid already. I'm not saying go support this movie because, you know, the artists they already got paid, whatever. Again, as for me, as a personal thing, I'll see this movie probably on HBO Max a month and a half after. That way the metrics are done and I'm in no way supporting Ezra Miller anymore. But that way I'm still letting the cast and crew know I've seen your work. I think Josh probably has another point of view about this because we don't want to support Ezra Miller.
Yes, everything around Ezra, it's a whole thing. We've covered pretty much everything that's happened since it's happened. If you don't know, go look it up for yourself. It's fascinating, to say the least. Me, personally, I, you know, get into movies for free. So I'm not worried about this movie seeing a dime of my money, so I'm not worried about that. But I do want to see this. This does look good. And this movie has been, you know, in development hell since, what, 2013, 2014? And so now it's, you know, coming out almost a decade later, like, is very fascinating.
And for me, the difference in, like, not supporting Hogwarts Legacy, Chick-fil-A, or Kanye West versus a movie, it's very different. Like I don't go to Chick-fil-A. I'm not shaming people to do necessarily right now. But I have too many people in my life who identify as queer LGBTQ+. And that money directly hurts them and directly causes legislation to hurt them in my life. And that's not good. So I don't want to put any of my money toward that. Same thing with Hogwarts Legacy, because J.K. Rowling is still the sole owner of that IP, and she consistently benefits from that IP, and she is hurting trans people every single day. She's written anti-trans books. She is helping push legislation to be anti-trans. She also, not so fun fact, has the game's plot is incredibly anti-Semitic. So I also know that the game itself is problematic too. So it's much more of a funneling into one bad thing system than a game. And again, with Kanye West, it's a solo artist. But with a film, it's literally an army. And for one act to be the downfall of an entire movie to me, it's really upsetting as a thought. Let's get into the content, though, of this trailer. Because holy fucking shit, Josh. We got Michael Shannon back.
That surprised me. Was it ever reported or rumored that he was going to be
No!
In? Okay.
No!
I was talking to Taj about this, and I thought that it was funny that, you know, in terms of, like, big set pieces that, you know, are famous in the DCEU, it's very weird that the only famous one is from Man of Steel. And by famous, I mean infamous. And that seems to be the one we're revisiting in this film.
This seems like a very good way to coddle the Snyderverse into death.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, the Snyderverse will have an end here. There's no more asking for it. It's fine. We're done with it. And that's probably why James Gunn loves it so much, because he's commented numerous times how great this film is.
We theorized before about, like, the future of the DCEU, you know, like, a year or so ago about this movie, and that I was going to be kind of, like, retconning it in a certain way. And, like, obviously, it's not exactly what we theorized, but, you know, we were close in certain aspects.
This Sasha Kelly Supergirl, though, is definitely Kara. It's or a version of Kara, not who we thought she was. But that's fine, too. She looks great in this movie. I love the fact that she punches faster than Michael Keaton's Batman can in that scene when she's flying around and Michael Keaton's trying to punch someone, mm-hmm. but she just punches. Like, that's great. The details of the dual flash, like, lightning, like, their feet hit each other, and the lightning strikes of blue and yellow, and they run the opposite way. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of cool shots in this.
I'm curious how it's going to, like, explain exactly how the multiverse works with this. Because you can kind of piece together certain parts. Like, there's Ben Affleck's Batman talking to the Flash.
Barry?
Yeah, to Barry. And you can tell, like, this is before anything has really happened. And then, you know, Barry, you know, shows up in, I guess, this other universe where there's another version of him. Michael Keaton's Batman is there, but Sasha Kale's Supergirl, you know, is there. But Zod, you know, played by Michael Shannon again, is there again. And, like, Ben Affleck's Batman at some point is back in Metropolis. There's a lot of weird things in this with the multiverse. So I'm curious if it's, like, universes colliding, things are meshing.
I
don't know what it is.
I think because Barry's in a world without metahumans, he goes to other universes and pulls Batmans.
it's so funny that, again, like, this DC just can't seem to escape its love of Batman. Like, there's more Batman imagery in the poster for the Flash than there is the Flash.
It's so funny. It's the Batcave.
It's the Batcave. You have a giant bat symbol, which is probably like the Batwing, hanging over him, and then Flash is, like, you know, very small on it. I'm just like, guys, more people are going to think this is a Batman movie.
That's how you sell it, because it's Ezra Miller, so you have to sell it with Keaton. That's why.
Yeah, that's true.
I also don't know how much. I think Affleck might just be just in the beginning/end scene, or beginning part of the movie as the original DCEU world version. But also, we get blue and gray suits. Numerous blue and gray Batman suits. It's so fun!
Blue and gray? We haven't seen that in quite a long time in live action.
What if Keaton here is Thomas Wayne instead? They just pull that shit.
Oh, that'll piss people off so much.
If Keaton is Thomas Wayne Batman and not actually, like, 1989 Batman, I would fucking love it and I'd laugh so hard. I'm gonna give it an A because Ezra Miller's face is all over this and there's two Ezras.
I'm going to give it a yay, solely for the fact that it's going to force the Snyder cultists to finally shut up.
Valid. Okay, moving on. In this past week, because it's been about a little over a week since we recorded, we've got episodes 4 and 5 of The Last of Us within the same week.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I cried.
Me? No, I don't know. Did I cry? No, I got sad. I like the big boy. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh.
You know what I'm referring to. And we will do a full season recap on The Last of Us when that show ends. But I just want to say 4 and 5 were cool episodes overall.
Yes. I still love the season finale comes on during the Oscars. So I know what I'm watching that night.
Yay on episodes 4 and 5 of The Last of Us. We got the same week.
Indeed, yay.
We also get the Ben Stiller triplet movie. Ben Stiller? Yep. That's the word I'm using today. We're getting a movie with Ben Stiller, and Ben Stiller. Or sort of. He's in talks to play 3 identical strangers in a movie called 3 Identical Strangers. It's in the series that follows identical triplets who are separated at birth and reunited later in life. And it's, I love Ben Stiller. If you've watched him in Secret Life of Walter Mitty, you know he's amazing. One of my favorites is he plays a very fun character in a movie about documentary filmmaking. What's it called again?
While We're Young.
Adam Driver's in it too. It's phenomenal.
It's a very fun movie, and not in the way that you would expect it. I think rewatching it, I had more appreciation for it this time around.
So Ben Stiller in talks play anything? Yeah, why not? I like him. Yay?
Yay.
How to Train Your Dragon, the movie series based on the book series of a very different story, is getting a live-action movie. It's in the works right now. The film releases March 14th, 2025, currently. My thought is, how funny would it be if they based this movie off of the book and not off of the animated film, where Toothless is actually a little toothless runt who can't do anything?
That would certainly be a choice. It'd piss a lot of people off. But I'm honestly excited for this. Out of most of DreamWorks' movies, like, this is a good one to do in live action. And also, in terms of, like, adapting modern animation into live action, that doesn't really happen. We'll adapt, you know, like, Scooby-Doo and, like, Smurfs into live action. But those were cartoons from, like, the 60s. Like, no one really cares about that.
Now, hold on. People don't care about Scooby-Doo?
You know what I meant. But something like adapting this into live action, that's very interesting. If it's successful, which it most likely will be, and it actually is a good adaptation, this will probably open the doors for, you know, better stuff. Not, you know, the Disney live action remakes, which are, you know, terrible.
They make it a musical now. They add in songs.
The wisest choice would be to keep Jay Baruchel as Hiccup. Yes, even when he's a child. Because no one can do his nasally voice like Jay Baruchel can.
I give this a tentative yay. It is, I think, one of the best trilogies of all time. The number two in that trilogy is probably a fair animated film of all time. So it's really, really hard to... It's really cool seeing movies that are geared mostly towards children, but also families, that actually have real stakes and loss and consequences and natural consequences of your actions. And people act in realistic ways, and it's really fun to see. But they also could make it so it's maybe a little bit more adult than we got in, you know, in the movies. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that they should keep leaning into making an actual PG movie, like, where parental guidance is suggested, because, you know, things happen. Not super intense PG-13 violence, but, like, make it like Pinocchio's PG, but it is meant to be that. So, like, I would love to see something like that for this. It also makes me happy the director of the trilogy is directing this live action version.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Then I'm okay. Hard yay then. Bring back Gerard Butler as Stoic the Vast.
He would need to be very big, though.
You can make him less vast. Neil Patrick Harris is Gobber for no reason besides singing and dancing now. Gobber is supposed to be gay, so cast a gay actor. Why not? We have AMC Theater Shenanigans, as you're probably well aware of this. Yes. They are changing their ticket prices depending on seat location, with standard sightline, most common seats, and normal price, value sightline, front row and select ADA seats, lower price, and preferred sightline, middle row seats at premium price. What the fuck?
This is beyond stupid. This is not a concert where you get one show a day and it costs, you know, like a couple $100 a ticket, whatever it is. This is a movie theater that seats like 20 people, 20 to 50 people, depending. Multiple showtimes a day. What is this?
It makes no sense. Nay.
It's going to piss people off. You tell people, like, oh yeah, you sit here, it costs, you know, $10. You sit here, it costs $25. Like, no. And then people find out they're sitting, like, in the front row. They're gonna be pissed. They're gonna demand refunds. Like, no one's going to, you know, be like, oh yeah, oh, happily sit here for cheaper.
Yeah, you're gonna have the front row to stay empty. And it's basically all it is now is just a price hike. That's all it is at this point. Because no one's going to sit in the front row.
And if you want people to come to the theaters, this is not the way to do it.
No, re-release Top Gun Maverick. That's the way to do it.
When it's time for the Oscars, they'll release all the Best Picture nominees, except for Netflix, in theaters. So yes, Top Gun Maverick and Elvis will be back in theaters, and I can't wait.
What a great segue. I have Elvis news.
Oh, wonderful.
First off, yay or nay on the AMC shenanigans?
Hard nay. And if I get fired because I said hard nay, well, now we have the evidence.
Austin Butler says he is finally getting rid of the Elvis accent, saying, I have probably damaged my vocal cords with all that singing. One song took 40 takes.
I mean, that's the nature of film, just with the angles and takes and everything. But also, dude, you've been using that voice since the movie came out.
Watch it the second the Oscars happen, just gone.
If he wins the Best Actor Oscar, which is most likely going to happen as much as I want Brendan Fraser to win, he's not... Will he? I don't know. But yeah, like, you just listen to interviews of his voice from, you know, like, just a few years ago. Nothing at all like his voice now.
Well, to be fair, he did also get older.
But, like, he was already in his... He's only been in his 20s. At this point, your voice shouldn't keep dropping.
I understand the idea of being method for a while and trying to stay in the voice, and it's probably hard to get out of that at that point.
Yeah, in terms of, like, method acting, like, staying in the voice of whatever character, whether it be a certain accent or dialect or whatever, I understand staying in that so that way you don't lose it. But the movie's been done filming for a while now.
Right, but he said before, he doesn't know what is or isn't his voice anymore. It's hard to know. And oddly enough, we have more Elvis news, but about different Elvis.
Is this what I think it is?
The first trailer for Agent Elvis, starring Matthew McConaughey as Elvis, released, and the movie releases on March on Netflix. Have you seen the pictures and stuff, the posters and stuff?
Yes, I have.
McConaughey as Elvis, voice-wise, makes more sense to me than Austin Butler does.
Yeah, like that, as a casting choice, that makes sense.
It seems smooth, but also, it'd be really funny if you got Austin Butler to do it and just make him stay in his voice longer.
Yeah, like anything to do with Elvis, Austin Butler has to play him now.
Yeah, I give this trailer, I did watch it, a tentative yay, because it makes us have to talk about Elvis longer.
I'll give it a nay, because I don't know if I have interest in watching it.
Sequel schmeekwels, it's time to get funky.
What?
So we have sequels in the works, Josh. Three new Disney sequels, for instance, being made with Toy Story 5, Frozen 3, and Zootopia 2. Thoughts?
Frozen 3 and Zootopia 2, I get those. I understand those. Toy Story 5, we've had two endings to this series already. Why are we going for a third ending, guys?
Correction. We've had Buzz's ending. We've had Woody's ending. Now it's time for, I don't know, Slinky's ending.
What was Buzz's ending?
Sorry, Andy's ending and Woody's ending. Now it's time for Buzz's ending.
Well, considering everything with Tim Allen, probably best, or, you know, just don't make a fifth Toy Story movie.
Recast just Buzz with Chris Evans now.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that'd be really funny. I give the Toy Story 5, Frozen 3, Zootopia 2, overall a yay, because it's funny watching the internet get mad.
Yeah, like, it's Toy Story 5, it's gonna make money. It doesn't matter the quality of it. I like Toy Story 4. I think it's good. Toy Story 3 is still a perfect ending to that series. But, you know, it's a movie about toys that are coming to life. Why are we getting so pissed off about it?
Bring Megan in Toy Story 5.
Now that's a moneymaker right there.
Megan and Chucky just have a horror toys version. See, I don't like Frozen 2 that much. I think it's fine. Frozen 1 I think is fantastic. Zootopia I thought was fine. I'm like, I don't think it needs sequels necessarily, all these things, but... You know what? I like chaos, and there's never bad to have more art.
Frozen 3, I think that it would be interesting to see what else they can do in this world. And Zootopia 2, I want to see more of Zootopia. I want to see, like, how creative this whole universe is and everything like that.
Frozen 3 is just the Trolls movie now.
No.
Let's We also got more schmeekwels coming with a plane schmeekwel. Yes, we're getting a sequel to the plane movie, Josh. It's called Ship.
Wonderful. Genuinely, plane is fun. I honestly think it's good. And for another film, this time set on a ship, focusing on Mike Coulter's character, why not? Give me more bonkers action. Plane is honestly good. I say go see it.
They missed an opportunity, though. The sequel could have been called Train, and the third as Automobile.
Thank you! I'm not the only one that thinks this.
Also, another schmeekwel sequel is I Am Legend 2. And if you've not seen the other version of the ending of the movie,
like me, you'd be very confused. Because at first, spoilers for the first Iron Legend, you can skip down below the timestamps. In my eyes, he fucking died.
In the world's eyes, he died.
It's okay. But then I recently watched the alternate ending. I'm like, oh, that's different.
Yes, the alternate ending fits much more thematically with the film and, like, the virus and, like, all these other things. It basically is, like, he doesn't, you know, blow himself up to sacrifice himself. He kind of realizes, like, oh, these are, like, humans now. What we're basically killing them. Like, again, I haven't seen the movie in a while, so I'm not explaining it correctly. But the alternate ending is way better. And it's not like, oh, he sacrificed himself. Sad. Like, this one actually makes you think. It's and so, like, you know, a sequel, I'm very curious what that'll be. And you know what? I'm happy that we're getting past all the Will Smith, you know, slap shit. And now he's like, yeah, that was stupid. Okay, Bad Boys 4, that's happening now. Thank God. I love Bad Boys 3. And then now I'm Legend 2. He's starring in it with Michael B. Jordan. Okay, cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was about to mention the same thing you did about Oscars, how we're finally, Will Smith's still working. And it's got Michael B. Jordan as his son. That's pretty cool. I also like that Iron Legend is the only movie I've ever seen with pandemic-based vampires. Because they're not zombies.
That is true.
They burn in the sunlight even. Like, they're vampires. And so, that's cool. We're getting another one. Don't let the dog die this time, please. Anyway, moving on to the next thingy. I love thingies. More sequel stuff. Gladiator 2 news, oddly enough. Have you seen After Sun yet?
I have. Good movie.
Paul Mescal from that is going to be starring in Gladiator 2, coming out November 22nd, 2024.
What a wildly quick career that man has had. He started in, like, a mini-series with Daisy Edgar Jones, and then he got, you know, did After Sun, which got him an Oscar nomination. Now he's starring in Gladiator 2 as the lead. Like, that's insane. Good for him.
Also, why do we have Gladiator 2? That feels like a movie that does not need a sequel.
I think it's focusing on his son. I think that's what it is. I've never seen the first one, so I have no idea what happens in it.
I haven't either. I brought those news up because I thought you'd seen it.
I have not. I just know Ridley Scott made it, Russell Crowe's in it, and Joaquin Phoenix is in it.
Well, Josh, we also have game-related news. You've played a few games in your time.
I have a few.
So there's a game you haven't beat yet, and it's called The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
This is correct.
We also now got a full kind of trailer for The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which is a sequel in the way that Majora's Mask is a sequel to Ocarina of Time. Same style, same kind of world environment, but honestly, all the Zelda games are sequels or prequels because it's all one very fun-looking timeline.
It's a very weird timeline.
It's a trident! It is! It's got you got life, death, and child are the three options. Have you watched the trailer yet?
Yes, it is very good. I am excited for it. I will say, I am a bit disappointed that, obviously, you know, we got the sky shit, which will be interesting, but, like, it's the same map from the last game. It was such a huge map also, like, what else can you really do with it? If you've played, you know, Breath of the Wild, you're gonna be playing the same, you know, map this time around.
Oh, Josh.
What?
You haven't played enough Zelda games. Majora's Mask and Ocarina also similar maps. It's just, you'll probably be playing technically almost all of Zelda maps the same map, because it's almost always just Hyrule. But it's going to be a way, it'll be new places on the map, it'll be new design choices. Think of it like New York City in an Avengers game versus New York City in a Spider-Man game. Like, it's the same base place, but they make a lot of different changes to it. I am so excited. I love Zelda. And Link. Not just Zelda. Zelda is not the main character. People keep thinking, still, in the year of our Lord, 2023, that Zelda is the little green boy. That's not accurate.
Well, look, if you've never played the games before, and every single game in it is called Legend of Zelda, your brain's gonna be like, oh, that's Zelda, the character that's on the box. All of them.
Look, it's an interesting naming convention. I'll give you that. Little Green Boy is the best boy, and he is not Zelda.
Why is it not called The Legend of Link when he's the one that does all the shit in it?
Because it's about, they're about The Legend of Zelda. It's about Zelda and her mystery, and what she's, ooh, it's like, I don't have time for this now. Okay, I would go off way too long about this. If y'all want a little mini episode of me just ranting to Josh about this, email us. I will make a 3-minute episode for you all.
And Josh would love it. Email us at podgeekspeak@gmail.com and make me do this to Josh. Make me torture him with this. Did you know, Josh, we got a Ted Lasso teaser?
Yes, I did see that.
It looks the same. So cool.
I like that they said season 3 and not like the final season. It's been like rumored and weirdly said that this might be the final season. And typically if it is a show's final season, the trailer will say, you know, the final season. So it gives me hope that the show is going to go on for longer than 3 seasons.
And if not, it's still a good show. So far, do you have a yay on the plane sequel ship?
Of course. It's a hard yay.
Yay or nay on I Am Legend 2 with Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan?
I give a yay. I'm very excited to see those two work together.
Yay or nay on Paul Mescal joining Gladiator 2?
I give a yay. After Sun's very good. You should all see it.
Yay or nay on the Zelda trailer?
I give it a yay, but it makes. But I'm also giving it a nay because it reminds me I had to beat Breath of the Wild. And it took
again,
me
to... pick one.
I... Look, if you say that it doesn't matter, I will say whatever I want.
I give them all nays just to piss off Josh. Anyway.
You're giving a nay to Tears of the Kingdom?
It's tears, mind you.
It's tears.
Tears.
Tears. Think about it. The sky is torn apart.
Yeah, it's crying. It needs help. Oh, we got a little mermaid teaser. Do you watch it? It was short.
I've seen the images. It looks bland as shit. I do not care about it. Like, I'm willing to bet that Halle Bailey does a great job in it. The cast probably all does a good job. But it's going to be the same damn thing again. And it's going to look
Josh,
infinitely worse.
We agreed, both of us, to watch day one to piss off the racists.
Yes, I'm going to see it. I never said I wasn't going to see it. I'm just not going to be happy about seeing it. Because it's another live-action remake, and I don't want these.
I like good singing, and she's got a good voice, and I like water, and the water's pretty. Yay for pretty water and pretty voice.
Yay for pretty voice, nay for murky, dirty water. Look, after seeing Avatar with, you know, very bright, you know, colorful water, and then, like, Black Panther, which, you know, was in the depths of the trenches where, you know, there was, like, no light to get in, it seems weird that they went with option B, yet they're in the same, you know, areas as, like, Avatar was with its water, so it doesn't make sense to me.
We have Deadpool 3 villain casting with Emma Corrin, you know, my brain just completely blanked, hold on. Let me put that again before I fucking make things worse. Okay?
I believe she is Princess
Diana. No, Back up. So we have Deadpool 3 villain with Emma Corrin of Pennyworth fame. She was in Pennyworth, Josh, for seasons on seasons. Also what? The Crown, I guess. But Pennyworth.
She was in 4 episodes of Pennyworth.
Seasons on seasons.
I don't think you understand what that word means.
Emma Corrin.
Are you okay?
Yay. I'm in a hot closet, Josh. I'm hotboxing myself by just being in here.
I thought you opened the door.
It's not enough. Yay in this casting. I think she's great.
I give yay just for pretty much anything in general with this movie. It'll be very fascinating to see.
Speaking of Sony stuff and Fox stuff and, you know, the alternate Marvel worlds we have.
The Spunk.
We're getting a Spunk time, actually. We're getting a Spider-Man Noir live-action film confirmed now.
I thought it was a show.
Series, yes, you're right, sorry. With Phil Lord and Christopher Miller producing, which is amazing. And Oren Uziel as the head writer. And this is really cool. He has written for things like The Lost City, 22 Jump Street, The Cloverfield Paradox. So that's kind of cool.
All I ask is they cast Nicolas Cage. That's all I ask.
He wrote the story for the Mortal Kombat 2021 movie. Take that how you will.
So now we've got a Silk show and a Spider-Man Noir show and a Spider-Woman happening? I don't remember if that was a thing.
Make them buddies. Silk and Spider-Man Noir.
That'd be a team up for sure.
That's the whole show now. It's just like rom-com, but they're not with each other. Just like other people.
Josh, Joker Foley adieu. We got our first picture of Lady Gaga and Arthur Fleck. Nope. Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix. Arthur Fleck is a fictional person, not an actor. And they're almost kissing, maybe have kissed because the red on her lips and his lips match, but it could be just blood. But she's Harley Quinn. And this picture looks slightly ominous. We don't know. It's also musical. And still, yay for being musical, no matter what.
Yes.
But also, we don't know at what point this takes place, how it takes place, where or when or anything, which is really fun.
My money is on it, you know, being set directly after the first movie, like him in the mental hospital. Probably this will be more focused on Harley than it will be on him. But we'll still see, like, his side, like, the quote-unquote romance of the whole situation.
Just bring me fun musical numbers. That's all we need.
I want this to be a weirdly deranged musical. That's all I ask. If you're making it a musical, go all out with it.
Have Mark Hamill do a song and dance in this. Yay on this picture. Why not? It's fun.
I give nay because I'm not going to be ready for the discourse of when the movie, you know, comes out. That's going to be very annoying again.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians? Percy Jackson and the Olympus. Yep. Season 1, wrapped filming, Josh.
Woo.
We're going to get that soon now. You ready for it?
Sure.
You ready to see Luke give the boys the little feet wing shoes?
Sure.
And the wonderful cast we have?
The cast is great. I am very excited to see what it'll be like. It's going to be interesting, the seasons going forward, because, you know, the kids, you know, are, you know, middle school age, so they're going to be going through puberty and stuff, and it's, you know, they can't release this, you know, one season a year. It's going to take time. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how they grow and change
the changes, the seasons. Yeah. They'll probably have to be just book changes, and that's fine.
Or it's like with Harry Potter, and, you know, you don't really address the age, like, how they look.
Or, like, how in Umbrella Academy, there, which takes place over a span of 4 weeks, Aidan Gallagher has aged years.
The whole series so far?
I thought Aiden's character takes place is like 4 weeks time. That's weird time stuff, I thought.
With five, that's time travel thing.
Okay. Even so, they need to fix some stuff with that because that boy grew. And so they're ending it partially because of the story is changing. And then with Elliot Page having the character change as well, a lot of things have had to keep making that show adjust. But that's not the point right now. I'm going to say hard yay on Percy Jackson and the Olympus.
I give hard yay. I hope that there's BTS of Walker Scoble just swearing and quoting Deadpool 2.
DC Comics sold out a bunch of comics. I've heard James Gunn announce the slate and did what Marvel does not do and actually put the exact issues and names of comics that inspire their stories. And in doing so, it helped DC so much. Every comic that James Gunn and Peter Safran put out saying our slate was inspired by these exact issues in comics and writers, those all sold out, which is phenomenal. Yeah, The Authority, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and more DC comics sold out, which is absolutely phenomenal news. Technically, you can get some still for like $200 when it's normally like $3. So that's still sold out.
Or if you don't care about having it physically, you can buy it digitally for like, you know, $3 on whatever the DC comic app is.
So, Josh, who do we not talk about?
Who do we not, or who have we not?
Who do we not talk about?
Bruno?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Correct. So, the song We Don't Talk About Bruno won a Grammy.
How?
Yes.
That doesn't make it sense.
Let me finish. It won a Grammy for Best Song Written for Visual Media at the Grammys.
But time-wise, that doesn't make sense. It came out November of 2021, so it would have been the Grammys of 2022.
Look, it's what? Just what the news says. I'm following the news.
I know. I'm saying it doesn't make sense. Were they just lazy that year? Or does it not matter when you submit them?
So apparently numerous people have had the same question, and it's there are some things from 2021, I guess, on the list. So.
Sure. Why not?
That's nonsense, right?
Look, I don't watch the Grammys. I don't know a damn thing about music. Whenever people get mad that someone won, well, like, cool.
Well, here's something cool about the Grammys. Viola Davis won an EGOT now. She is now an EGOT holder.
As she should be.
And yes, absolutely as she should be. But more so on that, she is the third Black woman in history to achieve this, which is, wow. Good job, Viola Davis.
How many people have won EGOTs?
Not a lot. It's not a big category.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing to achieve.
I think you can do it.
That's debatable.
You can win the Grammy for something.
I want it to be like the most obscure category. It's like when you win an Oscar for just something completely random.
And our last news piece before we dive into our year in review has to do with A Quiet Place, Day One. It has begun filming, and that cast includes Lupita Nyong'o, Joseph Quinn, and Alex Wolff. Yes, yay.
I'm excited. I think this will be very interesting to see, just because if it is truly only the first day, I think it'll be a very interesting story.
I don't think it'll be just day one, literally, but like it's just the beginning in general. But either way, yay.
Yay, indeed.
So it's time for our year in review. The news overall was quite interesting, I'd say. What a year it was, 2022.
A lot of things were done.
Do you review?
Huh?
Do you review?
What exactly are you asking me?
It was a year. Now, do you review it?
I guess.
Cool. Time for that. Let's start with our, like last year, same categories pretty much. Let's talk about our biggest yay of the year. And you can interpret that however you want to. Not necessarily the best film or your favorite film. But like we say yay or nay about everything. So what this past year, what like struck you is like, that was a huge yay to you. For me, because I know everything ever all at once is going to win numerous categories in our year in review, I'm not going to give it to that. That is a big yay. Don't we all know that? But honestly, The Fabelmans just hit me. It really hit me. Spielberg can do very little truly wrong. This film just shows me, once again, why I'm a filmmaker.
This is a tough one. Biggest yay of the year.
Do we need to give you the list of all the categories so you can be more prepared?
No. If I shoot myself in the foot. I'm going to go with RRR on this one.
Ooh! I haven't seen it still yet.
It's on Netflix. It's cinema to the max in every possible way, and it is amazing through and through. I thankfully got to see it in theaters, and I would, if you somehow can, I don't know if they're playing it in theaters anymore, I would recommend seeing this on the biggest screen possible. But if not, it is on Netflix right now, and it's not in its original language, but it's still very much worth the watch.
Now, next up is our biggest nay. And again, does that mean it's a movie we hate? It doesn't mean it's bad. It just means like it's just not it for us. And this past year, there was a lot of good media, I'd say. I think I know what Josh's is going to be.
I actually don't know what my name is going to be.
I feel like your biggest nay is Avatar Way of Water.
No.
Because even though
it's not.
No?
Bad. No.
I think my biggest nay, and again, it's not like shooting down the artist or whoever worked on these things. I'm going to go with Black Adam because I don't think it's terrible, but it could have been so much better.
Yeah, that's very understandable. For me, it's going to be between The Bubble and Pinocchio.
Now, hold on.
I forgot that existed.
Yes. Now let me explain my reasonings for these. Pinocchio, the Robert Zemeckis live action remake of the Disney movie, is awful through and through from beginning to end. It's indicative of just A, these remakes are just the worst because there's nothing new added to them. And it's also just sad to seeing Zemeckis just kind of not reduce himself down to this, but just have completely lost himself as a director from what he was when he started. And then The Bubble is just, it's got such a ripe premise for some really funny stuff. It's basically this big budget Hollywood studio is trying to make this big movie during COVID. And it's about, you know, this group of actors and stuff living in the bubble, like during the filming and everything. That's so ripe for so many funny things. And it was written and directed by Judd Apatow, who's, you know, a generally funny person. My God, this was bad. It was, and it's got a stat cast of Karen Gillan, Pedro Pascal, Leslie Mann. There's so many great people in this movie that are very funny and so many other things. Not here. They are given nothing to work with, and it's painful.
I love how neither of us picked Morbius, because honestly, isn't it? It's quite a ride.
It's a ride. It's not one I really want to take again, but like I'll say I enjoyed it more.
But we had fun.
We had fun. It murdered my back. I was bedridden for 2 days. That's not a joke. Right before the movie started, my lower back was feeling pain. I'm like, that's weird. As the movie was progressing, I'm like, it's getting worse. Is this a sign from the movie gods? And then I was bedridden for 2 days because I couldn't walk.
So you... again, broke the category in two movies for your biggest nay. For different reasons, which I respect. I like how I went with, you know, it's not something that's the worst movie in the world, but it's something I don't think it hit very hard. And Josh is like, this was bad. Now, here comes a category that's interesting. A neutral yay. Where it's something that is just above, it gets, yeah, all right. That happened. I had a good time. That was a movie that I probably don't need to see again. It's ranging in that 5 out of 10 range, but a little better than that. And it's a yay for me. Not necessarily amazing, but, you know, I get something out of it. And for me, this is the most neutral yay possible. And that's Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, you've heard of Horse Girls? Get ready for Marsh Girls. That movie, I don't know how I feel about it. I think I gave it, I couldn't even rate it. Cause I'm like, this is, I could see myself giving that movie a 5 or a 6. And either way, I had an okay time, you know?
I would probably,
Good
is,
ending,
this
though.
This is one that probably no one has seen except for me, but the Netflix movie 13 the Musical.
What?
It's
Describe this first.
It's apparently it's based on a Broadway musical, which I didn't know until I saw it, but it's basically this kid moves from New York to like the suburbs somewhere to live with his grandma while his parents are going through a divorce, and he's, you know, trying to fit in with the other kids and whatnot to get ready for his bar mitzvah and like all this. It's a very standard story, but honestly, like the performances from the kids and the songs weren't that bad, and I had a surprisingly fun time. Would I ever watch it again? No, but I honestly can't say I had a bad time watching it.
Honestly, I could rough some feathers here and give that same category to the Sea Beast. I thought it was fine, and not much else, but it was positive. Everyone loved it.
I'll add another thing to it. Going back to like way in the beginning of the year, Moonfall, a film everyone forgot about.
That's a neutral yay?
It's a neutral yay because it's bonkers, insane, like classic 90s sci-fi shit for like the first half, and it's so much fun. But then it undoes itself by the second half. It just, because it's focusing on the wrong thing, and it becomes so boring. It's a weird balance. If it wasn't boring in the second half, I would say it's a good yay, but it's a neutral yay because of that.
Now here comes the neutral nay. And I could do the sequel to the thing I said last year. I won't do it, because it's not even accurate for me this year. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Dog for me. Because... while I don't actually dislike Dog, I didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I gave Dog a 5 out of 10. I could give it a neutral yay or neutral nay. But honestly, I never need to see it again.
For me, I'm going to go with Death on the Nile. Like, the cast is there. You know, Armie Hammer is excluded. And, like, they're doing fine with what they have. But, like, the mystery itself was... It was okay at best. And here's the biggest problem with it. If I was able to figure out who did it, like, you know, way early on, that's a problem. Because I'm a moron, especially with mystery stuff. And so if I could figure it out, then everyone else could figure it out. But overall, it's fine. I would never want to watch it again. So, neutral nay.
That's our yays and nays. Do you have a, like, almost highest yay for you?
An almost highest like, yay?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, we said our biggest yay, but do you have one like that's almost that level, but it didn't hit it yet?
I mean, of course, I want to say Everything Everywhere, but I know we're going to have other categories where I'll say that.
It'd be
between Fablemans and Babylon.
Babylon is so good. It hasn't left my head yet.
It's an insane ride from beginning to end. Like, I saw that Christmas Eve, and I was just like, what a great way to spend this day.
Now we get to our best movie villain of the year. Now, is it the Big Bad Wolf from Puss in Boots who's death? I don't know. Is it Mankind in All Quiet on the Western Front? Is it the Hunters in the Sea Beast, you know? A lot of options here. Is it the Hocus Pocus Wishes again? Because that happened again. Hocus Pocus 2 happened.
I didn't even bother watching that one.
I wouldn't say Corey or Michael in Halloween Ends as the best movie villain. I'm going to say probably... Ooh, would you count the monster in Nope?
I mean, technically, yes.
Morbius, guys. Morbius is the best movie of the year. I think for my answer to this one, it's between a few. Like, Riddler's up there, honestly. I like Riddler a lot for the Batman. Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet, which is really good in Multiverse of Madness. But I would say for the best movie villain this year, I'm going to go with the father / the mother in Barbarian.
That's, yeah, that one's not a bad choice.
The dog and dog. I'm kidding.
If you took that away from it, then I don't think you understood it. I'm gonna go with a wild card answer here. I'm going to say Jim Carrey and Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Not generational trauma in Turning Red?
Look, that's a great villain, but I mean, you only get a wild Jim Carrey performance these days, like, you know, not that often. So I'm going to go with the wild Jim Carrey performance.
Also, I'm going to say this right now, not the best movie villain in the world, but I definitely liked the villain in Uncharted. I thought they were good. I'm not going to say who it was, because if you haven't seen the movie, it's a good little thing to do. So, yeah, villains this year were a little all over the place, but Jim Carrey's a good answer, I'd say. And honestly, you could technically go with Knuckles for half the movie. Now, here's one you're going to hate. Best musical or music biopic?
Why are you putting those two together?
Because I realized Elvis... I'm like, this doesn't fit the category of musical, but if you want to give Elvis a best of anything category, you can hear.
Definitely what? Not Disenchanted. I hate that movie.
I kept thinking the Sea Beast would start singing. I'm going to give this, even though it's not technically a musical, it is a music biopic, I'm going to give it to Weird.
Great choice.
Because Hocus Pocus 2 also technically falls in the same category of musical because it's a jukebox musical for some reason. But there weren't a ton this year. You saw Matilda.
Yeah, I'm stuck between Matilda and Spirited. Those are both really good. I think I like Matilda just a bit more than Spirited. So I'm going to go with Matilda the musical, but Spirited would be a close second.
Now, here's a very fun category, because this can be all sorts of different ways. This is a new category this year. Most unhinged movie experience.
Most unhinged movie.
Because Babylon could be up there. Unbearable Weight could be up there. Everything Everywhere. Heck, I can go with the Dumbledore movie because it was nonsense. And it was fun crab walking. But it's wherever you want it to be. For unhinged, Sonic 2 is pretty unhinged. But I might go with Bullet Train. It was Chekhov's Gun the movie. Everything was unhinged about the movie. The whole you're Percy kind of thing. Or you're Thomas, whatever it was. The Thomas and Tank Engine parts. Or great.
I'm going to go with Minions, The Rise of Gru. I went to take my little brother to see it. I was not expecting to have a fun time. It's so insane that I had no choice but to laugh. It was great. Now, is it a genuine great? I don't know. Did I laugh my ass off the whole time? Yes, I did.
Now, what is the weirdest movie of the year? I might give this one to Everything Ever All at Once. Because I don't know how much more weird you can get. I know Weird came out this year as well. You could give it to Weird.
Nah, that's too easy. I am giving it to Men. That movie.
Oh my god.
That third act. my God, I to this day can't get it out of my head, and that's not a praise, that's a bad thing. I wish I could burn it from my head. If you don't know what the third act of Men is, I don't think I can describe it on here. I'm not going to. Just know birthing happens in ways you don't want to see or would expect. And that's all I'm going to say.
Weirdest movie for me, I think it's probably still Everything Ever All at Once. I mean, it's pretty weird, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a hot dog hand universe.
There's a butt plug trophy. Now, for you, what was the most fun game experience you've had this year? My answer's easy, but it's a dumb answer because it's not really from this year.
Aha, I get to cheat with this one. The Last of Us Part 1, which is the remake of The Last of Us. It was very fun to get to re-experience that game again.
Now, my answer, I haven't played games that are new from this year. I played a lot of Mario Party Superstars this year with my girlfriend and my family. So that had been fun this year for me.
Would you say it's better than Super Mario Party?
Yes, because the dice aren't weighted like they are as the characters. You will have more fun. I think when you come visit me, you'll have a lot of fun with this one.
Would I win, though?
I'll throw on the CPUs for you on easy. I got you.
Every time we play with the CPUs, I lose to said CPUs.
Okay, I'll put them on master mode and we'll both lose. Last year, we did the 2021 Disney Plus shows. This year, what out of the 2022 streaming shows has been your favorite? And I might go with Stranger Things Season 4 for this one for me. Because I had a lot of problems with it, but I had a really good time watching it. Actually, I'm She-Hulk. She-Hulk is my answer.
I'm going to go with Sex Education Season 3. Because that came out like around the beginning of the year.
I've not watched an episode of that show.
You should.
It's very good.
It's very sexual, obviously, but it's also very British. I don't know what those two have to do with each other, but I just thought I would mention it.
But yeah, I think Stranger Things Season 4 is great. There's a lot of good TV this year, actually, that I have watched. And I'm currently watching The Last of Us, as you know, this year. So next year, that might be on our top of our list for that category. Now, Josh, top three fave non-superhero movies this year.
Everything Everywhere, Fablemans, and Babylon.
You can't take my exact answers.
I made a video about it before you did, so ha!
I'm actually not taking your answers. I'm going to go Everything Ever All at Once, The Batman, and The Fablemans for me. Right. Oh, yeah, I said non-superhero. Never mind. The whole point of that. You know what? I might throw a curveball. No, we have the exact answers. You're right. We have the exact same answers to that one. Top three non-superhero movies are easy for me. I think those are the three best of the year. Now, top three favorite superhero movies. This one's more complicated because there were fewer this year than there have been other years. We had Morbius, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, The Batman. I even count Sonic 2 if you want to. League of DC Super Pets came out this year. We also got Black Adam and the Wakanda Forever and the Guardians Holiday Special and Werewolf by Night. I'm going to give this to, for me, Werewolf by Night, Wakanda Forever, and The Batman.
I'll go with The Batman, Wakanda Forever, and Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie.
I thought you were going to go to Doctor Strange, genuinely, then.
I really like Multiverse of Madness, but that Turtles movie, like, I'm still shocked at how fantastic it is.
So, you all probably don't know this now, but we have a whole lost episode of Turtles. I went through an entire history of the Ninja Turtles, creation, the creators, the different weird TV shows it's had, an actual stage production, all this stuff, and it's gone forever. I made Josh hear me for 2 hours. I lost my voice, all for nothing. But Josh remembered maybe one thing of it.
Probably.
That's a good choice, though. I like those movies. Also, Werewolf by Night is amazing.
Oh, yeah, Werewolf by Night is great.
So what was, the best horror movie of the year? Ooh. We have Nope. We have The Black Phone came out this year. We got Scream 5, which I keep forgetting is this year. We got technically Morbius is under the same category of horror.
Is it really, though?
Yeah, it's a superhero horror movie. It counts, but it's not good. We got Smile, Halloween Ends. What do you think? You could say All Quiet on the Western Front because, you know, people are the real horror. I'm going to go with Barbarian for me. That really affected me. I have not stopped thinking about that movie. I've seen it. Although, The Black Phone, we talked about in the podcast, we had a lot of fun with. I think we both enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. I think I gotta go... Nope just worked. Nope. It worked so well for me.
Nope was really good.
It's a very classic, like, 70s like mashup of horror with a different genre, similar to like Jaws, which, you know, is not a new comparison, but I mean, it's an effective one.
It's very good. If you've not seen Nope yet, go watch Nope. And maybe watch a second time if it doesn't click the first time. What is the best new TV show that you watched, new for you? And it can be non-streaming.
I know. The Bear.
You really like The Bear.
It's so fucking good.
The aggressions then.
Just watch the pilot episode and you will be hooked.
I'll watch whatever I want to watch, damn it.
I'm giving you a recommendation, bitch.
She-Hulk was still great. I still love that. But new for me in general, I watched TV last year. Took it all. Hold on. I don't think I watched stuff. I'm looking at TV shows.
You watched Ted Lasso.
That's true. That's new for me. That's my answer. Ted Lasso is amazing. Also The Good Place I watched last year. But that's my answer. If Ted Lasso definitively last year, if not that, then BoJack Horseman, if that was the one. If you know what I'm saying. You get me.
Yes.
What was to you the best and second best animated features?
Pinocchio for number one, and then Puss in Boots: The Last Wish for number two.
You were so ready for that.
I was.
I'm going to go with Pinocchio again, probably. We all like Pinocchio.
Of course, we're talking about the Pauly Shore one, definitely not the Del Toro one.
Father, when can I leave to be on my own? I have the whole world to see. Oh, God. Yeah, Pinocchio number one for me. Number two is going to be weird. DC's League of Super Pets. I don't think it's great. I think it's... I don't think... Actually, no, what am I saying? Turning Red's number two.
I was about to say, I'm like, what? I'm pretty sure you've seen Turning Red. That's an interesting choice.
Turning Red is better. Yes. Pinocchio and Turning Red are definitely the one and two for me. I just couldn't find my movies for a second, and I went off my head, and my head was wrong. Now, I want to know what you think. Was this year the coolest costume of the year for anything, any movie? And you can't say Ghostface because it's already, that's the same costume. Honestly, anything Jobu Tupaki wore, the entirety of the Woman King was good costume design.
I gotta go with Benoit Blanc's choices of outfits in Glass Onion.
The coolest costumes for you are Benoit Blanc?
His pool suit is beautiful.
You know what? I respect it. For me... See, I would say Multiverse of Madness, but those costumes also are too similar to what we've already seen to be the coolest costumes of the year.
Moon Knight's is pretty cool.
I was thinking the same thing, just then. Moon Knight has a really good costume. I do like the swag that Mr. Fantastic Beast Boy has. I might take a cue from you, and you loved the Eggman Robotnik in Sonic 2.
Yes.
I think he has a pretty cool costume.
He does.
It's a cool costume. It's got cool threads. What do you think was the most practical outfit in all of Glass Onion, by the way?
The most practical outfit?
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. It's actually not a cat. I just want to know. I'd probably go with the assistant.
Yeah.
She wore normal stuff. Okay, Josh. What was the biggest surprise of 2022?
Ooh,
for a movie?
That's a great one.
I'm tempted to say Barbarian again.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would say that just because, like, I didn't know what it was going to be. So, like, I was surprised, but not, like... Not in the kind of way, like, I thought that was going to be terrible, and it was actually amazing.
No, but the movie itself was nonstop surprises for me.
Oh, for sure.
I'll go with Ambulance, because I thought it was going to be not great. And you know what? It was amazing. It was the most Michael Bay it's ever been, in a good way.
Yeah, I think I got to make that my answer, too.
Ambulance was a fun surprise. We had a good time.
It's like, There's... Michael Bay is Michael Bay, but, like, to see him actually... care about his characters and, you know, do really great action, and the fucking drone camera work in that was insane.
But Jake Gyllenhaal's eyeball shooting on his own head.
I'm so happy that he and Bay were on the same exact page as to what this character needed to be.
Now, was there anything you watched in 2022 for the first time that didn't release that year that you loved?
Clue. I'm gonna go with Clue on this one.
Now, I have a cheating answer because it was from the 2021 year, but Coda I watched in 2022 before the Oscars. I'll count that. That was really good. I think for a completely fresh movie. Also, hold on. Clue is a great answer, Josh. Good job.
Thank you.
I really liked Ocean's 11. I watched Paddington this year. I loved it.
Yes. Now you gotta watch Paddington 2.
I would say Paddington is probably my best answer I can give. Or Walk Hard: A Dewey Cox Story. equal footing there.
Of course.
Clearly. So that was our pretty much our year in review. Now, what this year is your most anticipated anything? You know, movie, show, something.
It was The Last of Us, but I mean, that's already out now.
You know what? I'm really excited to see Mario. Not even a joke. I think the Mario movie is my most anticipated movie of the year, which seems wild to say that.
Across Spider-Verse.
That's a good answer, but I'm sticking with Mario. Because while Mario is unpredictable right now.
It pretty much is. You can't really tell, like, okay, like it's clearly faithful, but like, is it good?
Like, Across the Spider-Verse, I know what I'm going to get probably roughly. So it's probably going to be my most anticipated yet. But this one, we got Chris Pratt and Charlie Day. What a weird combo.
Charlie Day as Luigi is inspired casting.
So Josh, that was our year in review. It's been a good year for media.
Yes.
And now we're in 2023 in February and shit keeps happening.
It really do.
Shit be do be doing. So, you know what time it is?
It's late.
No, do you know what time in the pod? You know what section of the podcast we're in now?
We say words.
Super
strange.
Close enough. Super weird stories, which Josh knows nothing about nothing, as he keeps saying. This is the part of the podcast where I talk to Josh about something related to superheroes or comic books or comic book culture that's weird or problematic or wholesome or something that's, you know, interesting to talk about. If you want to hear a really problematic story, go to our first episode. It was something. Let's talk about something actually genuinely wholesome for once in this podcast with this.
Yay.
I wanted Josh to not be upset about something problematic before he went to go to bed tonight.
This is like every time we do this, it's just like, oh great, more things to be depressed about.
You like the swordsman story a lot.
I love the swordsman story. That doesn't mean my mind still isn't broken from it.
Look, he became a plant with Mantis. No big deal. All right, let's talk about Blue Ear.
Who?
So, the Blue Ear, a superhero. Ready for it?
Who knows? Is he an actual ear that's blue?
No. Blue Ear was created by a 4-year-old.
That's not what I was going for, but okay.
So, Marvel usually gets mail from diehard fans asking extremely detailed questions about their characters. You know, that's a pretty common thing for both DC and Marvel. But one request from a desperate mother led staffers to put their thinking caps on and come up with a brand new superhero. Blue Ear is a superhero with a special listening device that gives him supersonic hearing. He was created in the likeness of Anthony Smith, a 4-year-old boy born with mosaic trisomy 22, which is a hearing problem. And so here's a quote saying, "We were raised with the words of Stan Lee ringing in our ears. With great power, there must also come great responsibility," Marvel editor and writer Bill Roseman told HealthPop. "If we don't use whatever skills we have to help others, why are we here at Marvel?" Mosaic trisomy 22 is a genetic disorder that causes 3 copies of chromosome 22 instead of 2, according to WebMD. Though the mothers typically suffer miscarriage when their fetus has the disease, babies that survive suffer from developmental and health complications. In Anthony Smith's case, he has a hearing problem that requires a hearing aid, which he and his family call Blue Ear because it's a blue hearing aid. One day, Anthony told his mom that he had no longer wanted to wear it because superheroes don't wear blue ears. She told us about to Marvel, and frustrated, she emailed Marvel's general mailbox, where Roseman read her plea. He decided to send her a note and an image of Hawkeye, a hero best known for being on the Avengers. He told her to say to her son that the character lost his hearing at one point of his career and he was still a hero, which is also really fucking wholesome. And true, people don't know this, and they touched on it in the Hawkeye show, which I loved. Hawkeye is a deaf superhero. And as a fellow parent of a toddler, I can only imagine her situation. Not me, I'm quoting. So I shared the email to the rest of the editorial, asking how we could help, wondering if there was any artist who would be willing to draw something for Anthony. Roseman told HealthPop by email. And just like when Captain America yells, "Avengers assemble," the squad quickly assembled of all Marvel team. Then, other members of the team decided to spring into action. Blue Ear was created by Marvel assistant editor Nelson Ribeiro and production assistant, production artist Manny Medeiros, who dedicated their free time to the project. Ribeiro told HealthPop that Blue Ear was a superhero recruited to be part of a top super secret government agency called Intercom. His hearing device lets him hear an ant hiccup on the other side of the country, he explained. So, very good hearing. Ribeiro sent Smith an image of Blue Ear using his device to hear people who needed help. Bluier invented the hearing device with his home laboratory, Medeiros added. He drew an image of Bluier in the likeness of Smith, standing with his friend Hawkeye. The Bluier, along with the other superheroes of Intercom, who are all special needs children, have banded together to use their newfound powers to fight crime and to teach the world that no matter who you are, everyone has a hero inside of them. While Bluier won't be in any upcoming Marvel comics because he's too busy paroling the city and listening for cries for help, he has been seen hanging out with Hawkeye. Roseman joked that Blue Eye sometimes stops by Avengers Academy, and a training school where Hawkeye teaches young heroes who may join the Avengers team. But Blue Eye only appears between the panels, Roseman said. He's crafty like that. So that's really, really fucking cool to me.
That's adorable.
Do you want to see a picture of Blue Ear?
Sure.
So first off, we have the original Hawkeye with Blue Ear image here. And then we have the actual comic panel that we now have. And since then, Blue Ear's actually appeared in the background of Marvel Comics, I'm pretty sure.
That's cool.
That's just amazing to me because they really actually cared. And why not throw in their character? Because you wouldn't notice usually anyway. Blue Ear, the character, is named Pedro Perez. And he's from Earth 616. And I love that. I love that so much. Here's proof, actually, because this is here from a comic panel, of him actually appearing in a Marvel comic right here. So Blue Ear still exists, and I love that. I want to give you a wholesome story about a kid who basically became a superhero in Marvel Comics canon.
That's cool. I like that.
And it's true. We don't have it's often hard, like, seeing yourself, like, not seeing yourself in media. I am a straight white man, so as Josh, we have not experienced that a lot in our lives. But people with disabilities do all the time. People with different races and cultures and ethnicities and genders do all the time. And it's really cool when you get to actually see yourself represented in your favorite media. Because now, superheroes do in fact wear blue ears. And I wanted to end the podcast with that note. So, Josh, where can people find you online?
I'm on the internet, internet places. The Instagrams at j_rudy16, the Twitters at j_rudy28, and YouTube at Josh Rudolph.
You can find me on Twitter at TheTheaterNerd, or Instagram and TikTok at ThatNerdInTheater. Or you can email us at podgeekspeak@gmail.com or tweet at us with hashtag GeekSpeakPod or at GeekSpeakPod on Twitter. We will respond to all of your questions, quandaries, comments, concerns, whatever it may be. If you just want to call us both donkeys, we will accept it and hee-haw on the podcast for you. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast this episode. It's been really, really fun. And we are back to it again. Woo!
Woo.
Josh is tired.
It's about 3 a.m. for me.
It's midnight here. So in the last episode I said we're 3 hours apart. I meant 3 hours time zones apart now. Not just 3 hours. We are about, 38 hours driving-wise apart right now.
It's a bit of a drive.
You can do it. No big deal. All right. Bye! Bye. Ow! Everything hurts, Josh!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.